world.
Boy, it's been a long time.
It feels like it's been a day. Yeah, absolutely. That it's, well, we haven't been doing the lives quite as much. So hopefully we can launch you guys on here to say hello, because we do like that piece. And as we see people join, please do tell us who you are and where you're from, because we like to know we're talking to people. And it takes a minute for this to tell us if we're talking to people.
Yeah.
So let us know that you're there, because it makes us feel better. But before we get going, we are very excited today because we do have the lovely Elise Mickey as our guest speaker. And if you've been with us for a while, you'll know that we've talked to her before. She is a phenomenal lady in how we can help our horses in different ways to really keep them healthy. Well, healthy.
Yeah.
Optimal health is what we're looking for here.
She has horses that are over 30 years old on a regular basis. Now, we at the Equine Connection have never been able to do that. But now, because we had her out for a conference 1 year, she showed us the ways. Now we're hoping that we're going to have a regularly 30-year-old horses.
And we do have, a few that are getting up there now. It's good that we have this knowledge to keep them going. I see Jen Stacks on from Jerosh. Nice to see you, Jen. We've got a bunch of people on too, so let us know who you are, where you're from, and we'll go through our regular old. See, it's off. I don't understand why it's still binging. Anywho, if you guys can hear the binging, I don't know how to stop it, so I apologize to you. But we're gonna go through our regular old rigmarole stuff here, just so you guys can get a bit of an idea of, well, everything that we do, I guess. But the first piece that we're throwing up is that hashtag.
Holy jumping tuna fish.
And you will have a holy jumping tuna fish today, because Elise is going to tell us a lot more information that you can really apply to how you work with your horses and understanding those pieces and the connection better with them. So there's definitely going to be a holy jumping tuna fish out there. So make sure to throw that one in when something blows your mind or knocks your socks off. And then, of course, we also have the hashtag, we are life changers, and we don't just mean us. We mean you. We mean all the horses. We mean everybody out there in the world who has the opportunity to impact a life for the better every single day that we live and breathe. And all of us have that peace, and it really does. It boils down to some kindness, people. Spread the kindness.
Always. Sprinkle it, man.
Sprinkle it out.
Kindness. Remember, we're going to die. And we got to stay kind while we're still alive.
That's right. Because after you're dead, you can't.
Nope.
So I see we've got Penny on too, and Riley and Ashley. Thank you so much for joining us as well, ladies. And then, of course, share. Share this out, because we do, one of our main goals at the Equine Connection is to help with the welfare of horses around the globe. So your way of being kind in this and sharing that out. So we know that we can get this information to more horse people that can do this for their horses as well.
Exactly.
Because that's the gift, people.
It is.
Give back.
And Elise has a horse with her today. Yeah. And I think this is so exciting when you can actually do a live where there's literally a horse, so she can show as she's actually chatting with us. So it's going to be so cool, you guys.
Oh, Jen likes her shirts. Yeah, oh, it is a zipper.
Thank you very much.
I don't know why I had to demonstrate the zipper. Yep, that's a zipper, Jen. There you go. We've got it now.
And we can tell you where to get those too. So just private message us.
Put that out there for you. Oh, you can hear the little birds in the background. Like at least that's nice.
We got to go fast.
We're going fast. So who we are, where we're from. For us, I am Carolyn Charles. I'm the Director of Sales and Marketing, as well as an instructor and facilitator for the Equine Connection, the Academy of Equine Assisted Learning, Inc.
Woo! Hi, everyone. My name is Carrie Fulneck, and I am the founder of the Equine Connection, helping people globally around the world do what it is that we do. And it's just the greatest job in the frickin' world, because we get to work with horses and horses to help humans, but the welfare of our horse comes first. And that is why it's so wonderful when we have guest speakers like Elise, who are going to help us to do the whole welfare of the horse. It's not just a physical piece. It's not just a mental piece. It's that whole being of the horse, because why? We owe it to our horses. Don't ever forget, we brought them into this world, our world. Now we got to do back to them what we can possibly do to keep that whole component together.
Darn
tootin' gluten.
Tootin' gluten. That's exactly right. So without further ado, let me just introduce the lovely Elise. As a dual licensed human manual therapist and certified equine therapist, Elise brings a wide variety of modalities into her practice. She began her career as an exercise psychologist, having completed her bachelor's in kinesiology, then went on to obtain her registered massage therapy license. She has since gone to complete the diplomas in equine therapy, equine craniosacral, and equine osteopathy. Elise also owns and operates her own NBCAMM. That was hard. At least you're gonna have to tell us maybe what that means after. Approved continuing education school, where she offers courses for other therapists and horse owners, and she is currently training in equine dissection in order to be able to open her own lab in BC, Canada. Elise's treatment philosophy revolves around holistic strategies for managing both equine and human well-being, and she is passionate at a passionate advocate for the welfare of the horse, which is why
she is with our us. Girl.
That's right. So we're popping her in.
That's here. Right. And Elise was also certified at the Equine Connection too. And this that's is how true. We got to meet and love our Elise.
That's right there.
I think hello, ladies. Nice to see you guys.
Hi. You look wonderful.
Yes, I've got Thunder here with me today again to help us out with our demonstration.
Hi, Thunder. I like I waved at.
Yep.
Thunder's one of my 30 plus horses on the property.
Wow. Amazing.
Well, hello, sir.
And we are so excited to have you, Elise. We always learn something fabulous from you every time we get to chat. So tell us, we've been focusing a lot about connection. And I know we mentioned that to you when we were talking about doing this live. And we think that understanding how our horses work and how we can better help them is a big part of that connection as well. And we're so excited for the different things you have to show us today.
Yeah. Well, today I wanted to talk about the diaphragm, as you know. Diaphragm is super important, which we're going to get into today. Why? And why I'm bringing that up when you asked for me to talk about connection. So there is a huge link between the diaphragm and our ability to connect with the horses and our ability to connect with ourselves. So I love working with the diaphragm because it promotes a lot of good sensations between you and your horse when you understand how to effectively work with it.
Yes, I like that. It.
I love that. Oh, someone said can't hear Elise. Oh, but then the next person said I can.
So, oh, okay.
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 Let's just make sure that everything's up high. There it is.
Okay. There we go.
No. There we go. So sort of leading into the connection piece too, I know that you guys got to experience my teaching you how to receive consent from your horses before you're working with them. Yes. So I did actually shoot you guys a little video because I didn't want to take too much time away from the diaphragm, but I also didn't want to lose out on this critical piece for you guys to see. So yay. I sent you a little 1 minute sort of video giving you a demonstration of how it is that I go about asking my horses and client horses for consent. It's a very important piece of the process because we never want to force something upon the animal that they have not accepted or as close to accepted as they can within our language barriers, right? So I always want to ask them consent. I always want to ask them consent no matter what it is that we're doing, whether it's horsemanship stuff, whether it's life skill stuff, or the therapies. So I hope you guys enjoy that little video and it gives you sort of a hands-on demo. So I already did that with Thunder this morning to get our consent to do this today and do our diaphragm talk.
Fantastic. And then we'll be able to share it out with all of you who are joining with us, right? Yes.
We'll let you guys know how to get that.
How to get it.
As we go on.
Here. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Awesome. So knowing that we have consent, we're going to head into today now. So first things first, I want to talk about what is the diaphragm? Okay. I think most people have heard about the diaphragm. This is a muscle in our body, but do we really understand why it's so important and why I'm spending this entire half an hour today to teach you about it?
Nope.
So the diaphragm, yes, it is a muscle, and I would say it's arguably the most important muscle in the body because it keeps us alive every second of every day. Okay, so what do I mean by that? The diaphragm is one of its roles is it's responsible for allowing us to breathe. Okay, so breathing is pretty important, pretty critical function that we need to have each second of every day. And the one muscle facilitating that is our diaphragm. So that's one big reason why it's important. Same thing for them. The diaphragm in the horse is massive because they are such a huge animal. I actually got a chance to see this one of my dissection trainings, and really seeing it from the inside out gives you such a deep appreciation for how big this muscle is and how much function it has within our bodies, which I'm going to explain.
Couple people did say that your volume is a little low. So I'll get you to use your diaphragm and
louder voice.
I'll go a little closer if I can too.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to go first off, where is the diaphragm in us? Okay. So on myself, our diaphragm is sitting inside of our rib cage. So if this is my rib cage, my diaphragm's actually inside of it. Okay. It's a dome muscle. So this is why it's hard for some people to visualize it, because it's actually a dome inside lining my entire inside of rib cage. Okay. It attaches to our sternum, our lower ribs, and our back. Same thing for the horses. Now, when we breathe in, the job of the diaphragm is to move down. Okay. So I breathe in, my diaphragm moves down. Why is that important? Well, by creating more space, it allows the lungs to take more oxygen in. Okay. So when the diaphragm moves down, the lungs have more room to take oxygen in. So that's important. The other thing that it does when it moves down is it pumps our digestive contents. So it helps to facilitate digestion every breath we take. On exhale, it's going to move up and it's going to push the air out of the lungs, which we want because we want more room for new oxygen to come in. Yeah?
Uh-huh. You know, makes sense. Yeah.
Why is oxygen important?
Living. Yeah.
Exactly. Every single cell in our body requires oxygen, right? Every second. So we really want our lungs to be able to take oxygen in, and we want our diaphragm to be able to give the lungs that space so that we can breathe and sustain life. So that's pretty critical. I would think you would agree.
Yeah. We're with you.
Yeah. So that's one reason that the diaphragm is crucial. We always want it to be able to do its motion, right? So the pumping mechanism, breathing in, moving down, breathing out, moving up. But sometimes we run into dysfunction, which we're going to talk about. Now, in the horses, I did want to just kind of show you, because it's hard to visualize on them because they're so big, but it is lining their entire inner cavity here. Okay. So if you have the barrel of the horse, you're going to think about that dome being in the barrel, inside. And every time the horse breathes in too, it's also going to move down, which in them is towards the tail. Okay. So they breathe in, their diaphragm moves down. They breathe out, their diaphragm moves up. Yeah.
Makes sense.
So for, yeah, for them, it's still doing that pumping mechanism in this direction of all the digestive contents too. Good. Okay.
Cool. And their digestion track goes fast.
What's that?
And they need that for their digestion track because it goes fast.
It does. And they have a really long digestive tract, right? Unlike us, like they are a forager, a vegan based animal. So they have a lot longer intestines, which is why if things are not moving so well, it can be so problematic for them because it's such a long distance to travel to get things out, right? Exactly. It's also a one-way system for them. So they don't have the ability to throw up when they're not feeling well. It has to work its way through that tract. And the diaphragm is one of the muscles facilitating that food to get out. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Next, I want to kind of touch on how does the diaphragm work? Because this is different than other muscles in the body because it's involuntary, okay? Meaning I don't have to tell my diaphragm to move down every second. It just does it on its own when I'm breathing, right? So that's pretty cool because it's keeping us alive and we don't have to think about it every second. But the cool thing about the diaphragm is it can go both ways. So while it is involuntary to keep us alive, it's also voluntarily controlled via our ability to do mindfulness exercises or do deep diaphragmatic breathing, which we know as breath work. So it's a cool muscle because it works on its own, but we can actually influence it as well. Okay. And that's a little different than any other muscle like the biceps or the triceps. Those ones we ask it to contract, it does. It's not autonomic the way the diaphragm is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing for the horses. So this is why I'm passionate about it, is because we can assist them towards healthier diaphragmatic function. Okay. just like us, they can get stressed out or they can experience dysfunctional diaphragmatic action. And sometimes it doesn't always go back quite so easily. We actually have to intervene and help the body to remember how to do its natural mechanism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So we talked about that the diaphragm moves down on inhale and up on exhale. Okay. This is tying into one of the techniques that I give you guys, and I made that handout too, so that you understand where I'm going with this. But we really want that healthy up and down motion. Now, what else does the diaphragm do? There's a couple other crucial things that I really want you guys to wrap your head around. So it's sitting in here, right? And now below the diaphragm, what is there?
Got the stomach.
Oh. The stomach, yeah. We got the spleen, the liver, GI tract we talked about. The diaphragm actually provides attachment site for some of those organs, okay?
Oh. So
organs aren't just flying around in space inside our body cavity or theirs. They do need attachments so that everything's in its spot, right? So the diaphragm dome actually has these little ligaments, and it looks like a parachute on us where the organs are actually dangling and attaching onto the dome of it.
Yeah? I wondered that.
Like, very cool. Just
like, I was like, do they just like, are they packed in nicely? Or how does that make sense?
We don't have free floating organs, okay? They are all attached to something and they're all fit together very perfectly. The diaphragm is one of those sites. So I think you know where I'm going with this. If we have organs attaching and we get restrictions in the diaphragm, what does that mean for the organs that are attaching?
Right.
Okay. Yeah. And it is the same for them. But again, because they're on the horizontal plane, the attachments are a little different, but they're still attaching nonetheless. So they have stomach attachments, spleen, liver attachments, all along that dome. Okay.
Right.
So that's cool. Second thing the diaphragm is pretty importantly doing is providing attachment site. The next thing I want to tell you is that through this dome, some pretty crucial structures are actually piercing through it, okay? So there's a dome, but we've got things going through the diaphragm directly. There's a hole that these things travel through. Do you know what they are?
Fascia?
No. Yes, everything's covered with fascia. We've got our esophagus, okay? So the throat, which is leads to the stomach, okay? Yeah. So the esophagus goes through the diaphragm.
Wow.
Through it.
Of course.
Another thing that goes through it is our aorta, which is the biggest artery in our body that feeds everything below.
Wow. Right?
Oh, see, arteries and blood vessels. Okay.
Yeah. Yes. So that's what our blood supply to the lower body, right? That aorta is going through that diaphragm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And one other important blood vessel is our inferior vena cava, which is the big vein that takes the blood away from the lower body.
Okay.
So we've got arteries, veins, and the esophagus going to the stomach traveling through the diaphragm.
Wow.
Wow. Who knew?
Okay. Right?
Who knew? Wow. I did.
Yeah.
This is why I get very, I take it seriously when horses have shallow breathing, because it has such a global effect on many things for these reasons.
Yes.
Okay. Last thing that is very important about the diaphragm, which is going to relate into our talk on connection, is that it has a direct connection to the nervous system. Okay. How? I'm going to explain. I'm going to try slowly. So under the ribs, okay, so we have our ribs here. Same for them. They have ribs here, 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 here. Okay, so this is their rib cage. Underneath the ribs, there's these little neurons called ganglions, and the ones under the ribs are the sympathetic state neurons. So these are our fight flight neurons, okay? And I know you guys have talked a lot about the different sympathetic and parasympathetic states and why that's relevant. So here's another piece of how that's relevant, is that when we breathe in, Our ribs also open up, okay, to allow the lung space. When the ribs open up, it pushes on the sympathetic ganglions and it ejects adrenaline. So we get a little shot of adrenaline.
Okay.
That's why when we take a deep breath in and you hold it for a sec, you almost feel energized. Right? You get this up, euphoric, energetic feeling. You breathe in. We're getting our rib heads pushing on those ganglions that are stimulating the release of adrenaline, fight, flight mode state. But then we breathe out. The rib heads become lax and the parasympathetic system is activated. Uh-huh. And then we get that rest and digest feeling as we exhale.
Wow, what a cool way to be balanced and understanding that.
Every single person watching this live just did that.
Yeah.
We all just were like, I need that right now. I want this too.
Yeah, and this is why, you know, practices such as meditation and breath work is focused around that long exhale, trying to accentuate it, because what we're trying to do is get your parasympathetic neurons on board, trying to get more parasympathetic rest and digest activation versus perpetual up activation and sympathetic. So this is really important, right? Because where do we sit if we are riding our horses? So we'll be sitting over the ribs, which in the short term is okay, but we don't want them perpetually having adrenaline output due to perpetually being in a sympathetic state.
So
that's one thing that relates with our horses. The other thing I wanted to make note of is how posture is going to affect what we just talked about with those neurons. So postural state and the way that the horse is choosing to stand, or the way that they're trained, or the way that their environment is set up, can cause less than optimal positions for those neurons. Okay, I'll explain. So when the horse's head comes up, like so, what that does is it drops the rib cage down. So it counters it. The head comes up, the rib cage comes down. When the rib cage comes down, guess what gets pushed on?
The diaphragm.
That and those sympathetic ganglions, the fight, flight.
Yeah, the ganglions. Yes.
Right? So this is why we don't generally want our horses inverted postures for long periods of time.
Because adrenaline.
Yeah, right? And over time, too much adrenaline leads to too much cortisol, leads to a whole host of other issues that we won't get into today.
Got it.
But that's one way that posture can affect it, and one way that environment or external, such as our riding, can have effect on the diaphragm. Okay?
Very cool.
Yeah. So what, right? So what can we do about this? That's probably our next question. Well, I just said one thing is watching out for postures. So one of my sort of, I always recommend this, is making sure that you have varied feeding stations. So we don't have only high nets, only low. We want different positions to facilitate different postures in our horses. Okay. No posture is good posture.
Okay.
That's another saying too. We never want to be in the same position for extended periods of time. So I like to have different heights so that the horse will just naturally select hay up top, select hay down low, select hay at a middle sort of zone. So that makes ensures that they're not ending up inverted for many hours of the day when they're just living their life, day-to-day life.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two recommendation I have is, so what do we do about this if we think our horse has a shallow breathing or has contractures in their diaphragm? Is we want to promote that movement. So daily movement. Thunder's just releasing lots of air here. Okay. Because of what we talked about with the pumping. So when we walk, okay, us and them, when we walk in gait, the diaphragm has to have more oxygen. So it's going to make a larger movement because we're walking now. So we need a little bit more oxygen to sustain the walking, right? What happens when the diaphragm has more range of motion is we get a bigger pumping mechanism for the organs. So like a massage almost. Oh, and this is why, this is one of the reasons why when your horse is colicky, one of the recommendations is to try to walk it a bit, right? So we're trying to get some pumping going on and see if perhaps it's a compaction, in which case it may pass, right?
Oh, that makes sense.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But it's also a reason of how we can keep our horses healthy and ourselves is go for walks or let them walk and allow them that turnout so that they can ambulate.
Okay.
It doesn't need to be heavy duty. Just a regular walk increases the diaphragm sort of activation 3 times the amount. So it's going to move 3 times as much just at a walk.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That is.
Yeah. And that's simple enough, you know, go for a walk. It's good for you too. So
yeah,
fine.
Yeah. The reasons I spend a lot of time walking them, and then why I made a track system at my place, because we have a very small property. So I wanted to know, how can I stimulate them to move frequently on only a couple acres?
Got it.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. The track system's been really, really helpful for that, among many other things, such as their feet and their joints. Right. Okay. And then the last thing that we can do is we want to be cognizant of our own regulatory state when we are with our horses. Okay. So you already know that horses can sense and feel our heartbeat, right? So of course, when we are activated or upregulated, of course, that is going to translate to them, right? In us, it generally feels like anxiety, or if we have a high heartbeat or you're shallow breathing, right? That's a sign that you're not well regulated in the space and that you need to take care of you first before we start making requests on the horse, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're not off the hook of this diaphragm talk. You actually are the creator of making that space comfortable for the horse before we can even worry about their diaphragm.
Yes.
Right? Yes. Okay. So what can we do when we're working with our horses? Check our own state. As I said, when we are in activated states, we're generally up in our chest breathing. We're generally, mind is elsewhere if we're stressed out, right? And our heartbeat is usually a little bit faster. So those are the things you can sort of check in with yourself. Where's my heartbeat right now? Do I feel calm? Where am I breathing? Am I breathing from my belly or up in my chest? Where's my mind? Am I focused on the task right now? Or am I thinking about all the things I'm worrying about for tomorrow? Well, those are some checkpoints of, am I regulated right now? If the answer is no, what are you going to do?
Breathe.
Breathe
from the belly.
Breathing is the simplest tool in the kit because we all do it anyway. So all you're actually doing is putting a little bit more mindfulness into focusing on that out breath, right? And now you understand why that out breath is so crucial for yourself too, to get that parasympathetic rest and digest neurons on board.
Okay. Excellent. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A simple test that we can do. I wanted to do it with you guys if you would be open to doing it. It only requires 30 seconds of your time, but it will be in silence. Mm-hmm. Yes? Are you okay with that? We've got to be quiet for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Okay, so what I'm going to ask you to do, and I'm not going to give you too much information right now. I just want you to do what I'm asking. I'm going to set a timer for 30 seconds. You're going to breathe as you normally would. Just sit there and count your breaths. Yes? I hope everybody can join in on this. So I'm going to start my timer now. Count your breaths. That's your one and only job. I'll tell you when to stop. Go. And stop. Okay, I'll ask you two, what number did you get? Carrie first. What are you holding up?
Three. I should have said, I'm still going in silence. But again, you know, we do this breathing all the time, so I'm very conditioned in.
Yeah. I was going to say, yours is very low. Even mine was at 8. What about you, Caroline?
Mine was at the 2.5 mark, but again,
well,
it's
that's you guys are focusing.
When we think about it. Yeah. But if I was regular, just huff and breathe in, it would have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure
the people who did it at home, throw in what yours was too, just so we can see what everybody
yes,
starts.
Yeah. Six. Yeah. So what you're going to do is you take your number and you're going to multiply it by 2, and that gives you your breathing rate per minute, right?
Okay.
Respiration rate. Now, in terms of normal human respiration rates, what do you think the range is? Do you know?
No.
So we're aiming for roughly between 12 to 20 on the upper end, okay? For a human regulated breathing, anywhere between 12 to 20. I would go as far as say 18, because 20 is pushing the higher end, would mean that we are actually utilizing our diaphragm well to its full capacity, and we are uptaking the amount of oxygen that is necessary for us to sustain healthy function.
Okay.
Okay. So you multiply that by 2. So you can do that on your own, and then you get to know yourself a little bit better as, hey, 7 days of the week, I've been actually up high, right? So, okay, mm-hmm. I need to work on that. Or, oh, I was only up high that one day when I was stressed. Okay, so I recognize that and I can work through that. But yeah, it's really interesting when you keep track of yourself, you start noticing where you kind of are at on a regular basis. And sometimes it's not down as low as you think.
Interesting, yeah. Yes.
And everybody else commenting is like 6, 6, 3, 7. So that makes a little more sense there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they multiply by 2 and they're kind of in that lower range. But when you're activated, it's actually quite a bit higher, right? If you think about when you're stressed or you're nervous and you're breathing heavier and you're thinking and you're sweating. Yeah, that's
you're running.
Going. Yeah, moving.
Getting the horses fed. Everything would have to be higher because I wouldn't be even breathing from my stomach when I'm doing those normal, natural things, right?
Or as conscious.
No.
Yeah.
But right. Running and exercise is different. You are allowed to be higher than resting rate.
Okay.
But if you're at a resting rate that's over that 18 to 20, that's an indication that we've got some, you know, dysfunctions happening in our respiration or our cardiorespiratory function.
Okay. Very cool.
Wow. Okay.
Now, next, what you can do, since everybody passed that test, is now we would be allowed to go and work with our horse and we could take their respiration rate too.
Oh.
Okay. So for the horses, there's no exact formula where you put your hands, but they have their diaphragm covering that whole barrel, like we talked about, on the inside. So anywhere on their barrel, I like to go roughly here and maybe on the ribs. Okay. What you're going to do is you're going to place your hands on your horse and you're going to feel for them breathing. So you're going to feel them breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. And you're going to do the same thing. You're going to set your timer and count their breaths. Okay. And then when you get to 30 seconds, you multiply it by 2. Now, do we know what a normal respiration rate for a horse is? Hint, they're bigger than us.
They're bigger than us.
Double the amount.
Other way.
Oh, right, because that's right, and it's pumps very slow.
Is it
everything.
6 to 12 or something like that?
Very close. I mean, it is a range, but it's again like 8 to 12, 8 to 14. Some texts will say, but it's lower than ours is sort of the takeaway because they're bigger. Yes,
right.
So they're having a bigger pump, more blood getting out through the system and being uptake.
Yes, okay. Makes
generally,
sense.
Generally, the larger the animal, the lower the respiration rate would be.
Right.
As well, very athletic horses and humans will have a naturally lower respiration rate due to their training, right? Their conditioning.
Wow. Okay. Cool.
So that's a fun one to do because you can check your horse and you may be surprised what you find there too. Horses with very high respiration rates, that's something that we want to work with, right? Because that means that they're in a more activated state perpetually, which we don't want.
No.
So what you can do, my simple exercise for that, is just the exact same position that you were in, okay? So when you're feeling them, you go back on, and what you're going to try to do is sync up with their breathing.
Okay?
So even if theirs is shallow and quick, you're going to still try to sync up with it. And then you're going to suggest, a little bit slower one. Okay. So you're going to adjust yourself and your own breathing, and you're going to stay with them and see how they feel about that.
Oh, very cool. I like that.
Here's connection.
Oh, that's fun connection.
I want you to do it at least for 3 minutes. You want to spend time there. You want to think in, settle yourself, ground yourself in, and just focus on the breath together. Try to sync up with them and then watch and see what unfolds. I'm not going to tell you.
Woo! This is exciting. I want to go do it right now. Thunder, jump through the screen.
Yeah, come to us, Thunder. Thunder's like, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my simple baseline. Like, hey, you don't need a manual therapy degree for this. You're just trying to sync up to the breathing, and then you can recheck it after and go, oh my gosh, it came down. Okay, I was effective in helping to co-regulate with my horse.
Wow.
Yeah? Very cool.
I love this.
Good. Oh, I hope it's easy enough. Less challenging than the heart.
Yes. Right? And, you know, I can even feel like how that would even keep you as a human so present, so mindful, so being there, and even being so aware of how breath is going. Like, what a therapy treatment for us as humans with these precious beings.
Love it.
Yeah, it's one of those sneaky ones, because I'm asking you to do it in focus, but what that does is brings you into the present moment of your body in relation to theirs.
Yeah.
Totally.
So great. Oh, thank you.
Phenomenal. Yeah, I love it. Huge.
So that's what I had for you. I also made that PDF sort of giving you a summary of those main things we talked about today. Yes. And also, I am so crazy about this topic. I have a small online course on it too, because there's just so much about it that's really fascinating. I shared some of the most fascinating things, but there are other ones too. So you guys can check that out, but that's in the PDF link.
And beautiful. So yes. Okay. So then how are they going to get this?
How you guys are going to get this is, first of all, I just want you guys to all know I threw up Elisa's website at the bottom of the screen there. So you can go visit her if you're interested in the courses as well. To get the gifts that she's giving you today, I want you to comment ganglions. No, I'm kidding. I want you to comment Elise in the comments, and I will private message you guys the gifts that she has asked or that she has given us today. So if you want those,
spell it right.
But if you spell it wrong,
it right, and don't forget your consent.
That's right. You always must get consent.
Love that consent one. And then you'll always ask for consent doing anything. And in all reality, Elise, wouldn't you even ask consent when you're taking your horse for a ride?
Oh, yes. That's the big consent question. Yeah, right? Definitely. And, you know, sometimes they say no. And we got to be okay with that.
Yeah. You get to say no.
But we got to listen to that, and we don't just say, oh, no, you didn't mean it. And then then the welfare is now broken, and even the trust is broken because you didn't take the time to listen to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. When I learned that, that was riding became a lot easier in that sense. Because if they said no, we didn't proceed with that day. And if they said yes, I felt very affirmed in the decision to go out with them, right?
Nice. Yes. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, you got so many. Yeah. Everybody's wanting both of your gifts. They're definitely coming their way.
Yes. So we'll get those all sent out to you guys as well. And at least that was
thank
wonderful.
Thank you. It's so lovely to have you on and learning things that we layman people can just do. We don't have to go get a degree. We can actually help our horses and help ourselves.
Yes, absolutely. Wow. So take a check out her website as well if you are interested in learning more. There's tons of information that you can get from Elise. She is fabulous in all of these things. We've been through some ourselves, and she's a fantastic teacher. I saw Penny said that earlier as well. So thank you so much, Elise, and we just thrilled to have you on today.
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for having me back again. It's always
absolutely. We love you, girl.
Yeah, we appreciate you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks. All right. Thanks everybody for joining. And make sure you put Elise in the comments if you are wanting those gifts, and we will get them sent off to you.
Okay, everyone. Have an amazing connected day. Go do this with your horse right now. Thanks, Elise. Bye.